free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's
the Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
All right. We're here, ladies and gentlemen, the 27th of June, 2020, I believe. Yes, we have to check. And nice to be back. Wonderful time, hopefully, as we see Rome burning, as we like to say over and over again. And it is burning, only I'd like to heat up the fire a little bit if I could, and that's up to the Lord himself, of course, but nevertheless, we certainly do pray for that end to come, and the end of this world system, because it is rapidly going out. But the smoke will rise first, and then the ashes will take place. So, we're doing a pretty good job of that, though, huh? Men and women and little boys and girls, they're destroying us and destroying themselves from within. It's one big implosion. You know, it made me laugh. Of course, I'm in the book of Joshua once again now, and Joshua, the great king, the great man of God, the great priest, the great battle axer who took over for Moses, is, at this point doing all he can to please God. And the Israelite people are generally going along with him, and they're obeying God. And you know what he says? What God says is, when you obey me, I'll give you the blessings. You won't have to worry about any victory against the Amalekites or the Hittites or the Anakites or any of the others, no matter how big and bad and bold they may be. I will give you the victory. And he did. And he did it over and over again. On the contrary, when he was not, and they were not pleasing to God, well, he said, you're going to be destroyed, and you will suffer many, many losses. Boy, it sounds familiar today, doesn't it, huh? And so, you know, in the book of Joshua, I was reading in one of the chapters, I think it was, I believe 26. Yes, 26 or so, Joshua. No, chapter 10. What am I saying? Chapter 10. It's around verse 26 or so. And he, 24 to be exact, actually. The Lord in Joshua is telling us that it came to pass that when they brought out these five kings of the enemies of true Israel, they were hiding in a cave, you know. And he brought them out to face judgment. And Joshua called for all the men of true Israel and said, now it is time for you to exact vengeance, you captains of the men of war which went with me. Now it's time to deal with them. And they did. And they smote them. And they gave them the old pincheroo, you know, of the sword. And then they put them up on the pedestal. And, you know, interestingly enough, I found this to be a standout for me. And they came near, that is, the men of true Israel, and put their feet upon the heads of them. Wow. Boy, that almost sounds like a George Floyd situation, huh? Doesn't it? But no wonder they're so oppressed by and they're so obsessed with this knee on the chest and this foot on the head. But it comes right from the scriptures. And I thought that would be very interesting to recall that today. I got a little chuckle out of it. And so I just wanted to share that with you, ladies and gentlemen, as I begin to open the program today. The book of Joshua, a great book of the whole word. Now, I'm going to bring up in this hour, stay tuned, we have a lot coming today, by the way. I'm going to bring up someone that we've had on the program many, many, many times, and he is a reporter, he's a columnist, he is someone who deals with affairs worldwide, but particularly in the Middle East. He has written extensively on Vietnam and other wars and other areas, and he, of course, is Gareth Porter, and he is back with me today to discuss a number of things, and let's see if we can bring him up. Hello, Gareth. Are you there?
Hello, Rick. I'm right here. Thank you.
Good, good. Very good. It's nice. I can't see you, but I can hear you.
That's what counts at this point.
Yeah, you've been writing again, as always, I guess. You were quite busy these days writing a lot of different columns and different emails and your latest book. I'll bring that up in a few moments, but you have been working on some columns I have not had a chance to comment on, and you've written a few. One of them, of course, had to do with the FBI. This is one that goes back a couple of months or so, and how the FBI has been employed in this campaign online to apparently engage in some sort of harangue of various groups and so-called foreign entities that are allegedly trying to influence Americans in some nefarious way. Is that essentially what you were saying?
Yes, that's correct. That my piece in the Gray Zone a few weeks ago was focusing in on the fact that the FBI has started in very recent years to open up a whole new area of focus in which it's attempting to clean out from the social media, from the use of social media, the certain organizations and websites that they regard as reflecting the interests of foreign powers. And of course, this is in a way, a reflection of the bow wave of Russiagate stories that flooded the American media in starting in 2017 and 2018, and which we're not hearing very much about anymore, for the obvious reason that they have been discredited for the most part. I mean, in other words, most media have pretty much stopped trying to push the idea because it has simply not panned out the way they had hoped. But now the FBI is turning to the notion of foreign influence campaigns in general being carried out by any foreign state that has achieved the distinction of becoming one of America's official adversaries. And that means Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. Those are the big four. And so any of those countries that have online presence, which of course all of them do, can now be accused in some fashion, or are accused by the FBI of trying to influence U.S. public opinion. And here's what really caught my eye, that the FBI has a foreign influence task force that they set up in 2016, which has the task of not simply making sure that foreign governments can't, sort of subvert American democracy, but even making sure that they cannot succeed in supposedly criticizing the media's narratives about that country. In other words, the FBI wants to get control over media narratives, including narratives or criticisms of narratives that are carried by alternative media. And here's where, in my view, it gets really scary. Because, of course, I write for alternative media, and currently I'm writing for the Gray Zone, which is a site that really focuses on investigative journalism. And what the FBI is suggesting now is that it's their job to do their best to nudge these alternative media that they believe in their wisdom are carrying the water of a foreign government in criticizing the dominant media narratives about that government. Mm-hmm. And the one that I talk about, which is the most worrisome case so far, is a publication called the American Herald. The American Herald, I think it is. Yes, and it's a site that reflects it's largely pro-Iranian views that are reflected on the site. But unlike any of these other places where the FBI and social media giants have claimed that they have to take them off their social media because they're engaged in sort of unfair, illicit operations because they're claiming to represent something that they really aren't. In other words, they're claiming that they are persona that don't really exist or something like that. In this case, we know that the people who write for the American Herald are genuine figures who are writing their own views. Now, they may agree with the Iranians on many things, although in some cases it has nothing to do with the Iranian view. But the point is that they're genuine. And that's why I think that this is a very important case study in just how far the FBI is going towards trying to exercise censorship. Now, they're not trying to take these sites that they don't like off the website, off the internet or off the social media, but they are counting on their allies in the social media to do it for them. And so I write in my piece about how the FBI consults with the social media giants like Twitter and Facebook, and those social media giants then make decisions that essentially kicks these publications off their social media and deprives them of the ability to use Twitter or Facebook or other social media. So that's what I think is a very serious threat to freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
Yeah, well, you understand they're only trying to keep us safe. You realize that.
Oh, exactly, yes. I understand completely.
Peace and safety, yes, and most of all, to protect America from the latest enemy that we have. Yes, we want to do our job and justify our budgets, yes. I understand that.
Exactly, the cast of characters shifts over time depending on who the enemy of the moment that they want to really focus on is. And, of course,
you're right.
Iran has remained in the news, and that's one that they love to take on.
Well, the irony here, of course, I'm laughing, is because while you're saying this, I'm saying, can you imagine? Now, who is it that would use social media, run various organs of the United States government, including American police departments that practice brutality at times and so forth, that has an untoward influence over all of the landscape of the social media?
Right.
Now, let me think now. Would it be Syria or Lebanon?
No, I don't think so.
I think it might be the nation that calls itself Israel. So it's interesting that they can do it. And they have this ADL front group and the SPLC and a whole host of other groups. And we certainly have been on their end of the paddle stick as well, because we represent alternative media. We want people to think for themselves and make their own minds up. But see, they don't want that. They want to use the bully pulpit of the social media and the club and the yardstick to judge everyone else by. So, and now they haven't just done that, but as we know, they want hate speech laws enacted. And right now they're trying to ban what they call hate sites and hate speech on the social media. So it's even gone beyond that. And maybe the FBI hasn't had a direct hand in it or ostensibly says it's not trying to do that, but, I mean, certainly when you got the Justice Department and you got the Homeland Security in particular, the direct pipeline to Netanyahu, You know, you've got some pretty dangerous characters, I think, up there trying to really slap down all freedom of speech in this country that affects them. You know.
Well, I couldn't agree more. This is an extremely dangerous situation that has continued to arise in the last few years, where the pro-Israeli forces in the United States, UK, and Europe have moved very aggressively toward essentially trying to shut down criticism of Israel by portraying it as anti-Semitic. And this is, intelligent people all over the world understand that this is a trick that needs to be unmasked, and they are doing so. But nevertheless, particularly in the UK and in Germany, this has been extremely effective in shutting down or extremely limiting any dissent on the idea that, basically dissent on Israel's policy, criticism of Israel's policy. So it's something that really needs to be addressed by as many people in as many forums as possible.
Well, the funny thing is it isn't working, and when it doesn't work, then they really take out the big guns, it seems, and they really start to use some pretty nasty tactics. And, I've been pushing this article on my own Facebook page, Rick Adams Uncensored, and, you know, I've been putting it up a number of times how, you know, this George Floyd case here, whatever you think about it, whatever you say, whatever angle you look at it from, the fact of the matter is that American police departments and forces do go and train in Israel. They go and they train there for so-called terror control and for violence. And these are the tactics which they are employing in many cases. Not all. I'm not condemning all the police. But what I'm saying here is that they are learning it from them in many cases.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure, Rick, I'm sure you are aware that the police in Minneapolis were, in fact, trained in Israel. I think it's one out of four Minneapolis police were trained in Israel, and there is certainly a direct correlation there between the use of certain tactics the training that they got with the Israelis, and that absolutely has to stop. And I think there is a very strong now movement to put a stop to training of American police in Israel. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. One of the very many.
Well, ironically, and I'm not Trump and I'm not the Democrat. I look at them as, you know, Tweedledee, Tweedledum. But within the so-called progressive elements of the Democratic Party, there is this movement which has begun to do exactly that. And, of course, they're trying to slap that down as well. But I remember the days of Representative, was it James Moran, you know, the Democrat, was it, from Virginia, who was offensive to them? And wanted to break away from this neocon control of these parties. And boy, did he take a shellacking, you know?
Well, and that's one of countless examples of what has happened over the decades, as you know well, with the Israeli lobby just attacking viciously anybody who's really stood up to them in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely so. Now, your next column, I believe, that followed this was dealing with this Israeli foreign policy, overshadowing of what's going on with Trump right now. And in fact, we were expecting his decision, that Trump's decision, meaning probably Adelson's decision, as to what will happen with this annexation of the West Bank. This is a very significant move, to the point where, as you know, it has enraged not only many European capitals, but also potentates and diplomats from all across the whole globe. Hundreds of them now have come out and said this is one bad move. Even within the regime, some of the Shin Bet and their so-called intel groups have come out and said this is not a good move, and they've cautioned against it. So,
very important.
Mr.
Point
Trump,
indeed,
as of yesterday, did not issue a decision that I know of, or today, did he?
I have not seen that myself, but I have been following it closely today.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back with Garrett Porter, folks. Rick Adams.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime Membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
All right, and we're back now with Gareth Porter. I just want to give him a little bit more time here, and any comment on what I was just saying before the break, Gareth?
Just that I would add one of the scariest things that's happened in terms of this influence that pro-Israeli forces have been able to wield politically is the way it was used essentially to discredit the labor candidate, you know, the person who was a very promising candidate for the Labor Party, Jeremy Corbyn, to paint him as an anti-Semite, despite the fact that there was not the slightest real evidence to support that. And so that is just, to my mind, so the apotheosis of just how far this tactic can be carried and how effective it can be to really alter the politics of a nation state.
Yes, and, definitely to browbeat and to sow the seeds of disinformation, nipping it in the bud before they become more powerful is a standard tactic. And as you know, that's the case. Getting back to the police tactics, what just took place about 6 weeks or so ago with the shooting to death of a Palestinian autistic young man by the Israeli forces is a classic example, which I'm sure you're aware of, what they were able to do, and virtually not a word in the American media here about it and how those tactics are almost identical to what we've been entreated to here with regard to the American police.
Well, yeah, and there's certainly not an accident, that's for sure. I mean, the Israeli
no.
Training has had the very pronounced impact on the way in which police in American cities have dealt with these sorts of situations, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your other project that you've been working on is has to do with the Intel, right, specifically? The CIA?
Yes, that's one of my major interests indeed.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the piece that is most recently published by Grayzone is one that deals with the now famous Netanyahu nuclear archive, quote-unquote. That is to say, the supposed huge number of Iranian nuclear weapons related documents that, again, according to Netanyahu, were spirited out of Tehran in the dark of night by Mossad in January of 2018, and have now been sorted out and translated and have been used to have an impact on U.S. policy, of course, but also on the International Atomic Energy Agency. And this is really the focus of my piece. That is a piece about how the Israelis fed the IAEA a series of documents, lobbied them heavily about these documents from the so-called nuclear archive, and basically persuaded the IAEA to use these documents as the basis for accusing Iran in a kind of indirect way of having used and maintained undeclared nuclear materials on three different sites, three undeclared sites, that is, sites that were never declared to be nuclear sites. And these are supposedly things that happened not recently, but 15 years ago or more like 16 or 17 or 18 years ago. Now, let me just take a step back and just remind folks, I can't remember if we have discussed this on your show or not at this moment, but to make sure that people understand that what we're talking about is a yarn that Netanyahu has made public about stealing all these Iranian documents that makes no sense whatsoever. It just doesn't add up. It's a tale that the American media have accepted hook, line, and sinker without the slightest questioning, no investigation, no fact-checking of any kind. But had they done so, they would have quickly realized that they'd been had. And in a previous piece about this, I point out that in two emails to me by two former CIA national intelligence officers for the Middle East, one in the 1980s and one in the early 2000s, they both, I asked both of them what they thought of the idea that that Netanyahu and the Mossad people were passing on, that they could be directed to precisely the right safe to crack open in precisely the right warehouse to get these documents that they really wanted, because they had the most sensitive source in the Iranian government who knew exactly where these documents were located. And both of these former CIA high-ranking analysts said the same thing, more or less. They said it doesn't make sense. No intelligence agency is ever going to sort of reveal that they have that kind of source, because the effect of it is to, as the intelligence people call it, burn your source. And so it mm-hmm. simply wouldn't be done. I mean, there's no possibility that Mossad would ever do that. But in fact, it's the Mossad officials who are really peddling this story to the media, particularly the New York Times, or to somebody who wrote for the New York Times. So this is just one very big clue that the entire idea that they have this nuclear archive of Iran that reveals the secret plans to have nuclear weapons is a complete phony. It's a complete fake. And what they're doing... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's evident. It's always been the case.
Yeah. So what the Israelis are doing here is to approach the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and say, here are these documents that we've gotten. You need to use these against the Iranians. And I'll explain
I want to hold you over just another 5 minutes or so, because we do have this next break. It's important. All right, stay with me, Gareth Porter, Rick Adams Uncensored, and follow us on Facebook, Rick Adams Uncensored.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back. Gareth Porter and the Gray Zone, of course, his columns are published there, quite a few of them over the years. And, Gareth, I did want to just once again recapitulate, I think, the fact here is that for all intents and purposes, the media, social media as well, but the mainstream, lamestream, corrupt media, the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, all seem to operate in a very kindred spiritual way. They all work together at some point. Although there is opposition within some of them, there has always been. The heads of them, the heads of the FBI, CIA, you know, we've got Christopher Wray now, Ed Mueller, you know, we have a number of them corrupt, you know, to the core, Comey and so forth, that we find that they themselves are employing the very dirty tricks that they seek to protect us from. So what do we do in a so-called democracy, a republic, supposedly? What do we do to rein in the controllers? I mean, how do you fight them in any kind of legal or lawful way, other than taking to the streets, which is what they want? You know what I'm saying? How do you do that?
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is for people to have reliable media, alternative media that are serious about ferreting out the truth. I mean, it's very difficult. It's an uphill battle, but, we now do have a small coterie of media online that are doing this. And again, I mean, I just want to make sure that people are aware of Gray Zone. It's a relatively new website, but it is very serious about investigative journalism. It's one of the few sites that really does focus on that. And the viewpoint is, extremely impartial and really, as I think you put it, understands that both parties are corrupt and are not the hope of the future at all, and right. that the truth lies elsewhere. And that's where we're coming from.
Yes, that's right. The truth shall set us free. I have a caller who was on the line. I don't know if he still wanted to call. I didn't invite callers. But let's see if he has something to say, a question to ask of you very briefly. Dave in San Francisco. Let's see if we can bring him up. Hello? Yes. Oh, he's gone? Oh, okay. All right. Well, he did have a question, and apparently he didn't want to wait. So that's okay. What is your next column going to be about, Dave? Gareth. What is your next column planning to be?
Well, I have one actually already in the works. It's finished, and I'm not sure exactly when it'll be published, but it will be about the truth behind the storyline of the terror bombing in Buenos Aires in 1994, which, of course, has been blamed on Iran forever, since the beginning, United States and Israel to leading the pack. But what happened a few years ago is extremely important for people to understand. New development, which I won't go into now, which I write about in my piece, has completely blown away any thought of the idea that Iran is behind this, and casts serious doubt that it was not the anti-Semitic dirty war veterans who carried out a war against democracy and particularly against Jews in the 1970s. So that's what that next story is about.
All right. Well, that's great. Always looking forward to your columns and your emails. And people can, if they wish to follow up or subscribe, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it's not a subscription at this point. It's still free. It's you just go to the website, the Gray Zone, and this is a new story basically every day, or more than one story every day. And I'm publishing roughly every couple of weeks at this point. And so I hope people will give it a try.
Well, very good. Very good. I certainly hope you're getting some feedback and you're getting some outreach within the landscape. Definitely. We'll appreciate your updates, and we definitely will have you back anytime. All righty?
Thanks so much, Rick. Glad to be back.
Thank you, Gareth. All right. You have a good weekend. Bye-bye now. Well, folks, that's just a little, touching base again with what Gareth is doing, what others are trying to do in the alternative media, and what we, of course, see every single day, which we know, we understand. I mean, those who get deeper and deeper into this than even myself, get into it scripturally, get into it biblically, and historically know that the whole world is basically a stage. And it is a stage for one big theatrical performance. That's what this COVID nonsense was all about. We had Greta Thunberg, or whatever her name was, from Sweden or wherever, and talking about the earth burning up and the fires and so forth. Well, tell her the elements are going to burn up. This earth system will fade away, and the fire will melt it with fervent heat, it tells us in the scriptures. So we don't have to worry about that. But it isn't going to be from the sun or the position of the sun to the earth to the other planets or anything to do with global warming or any other such nonsense. But again, all you need is for the media bosses to decide what they're going to put on the front burner, pedal it, turn the heat up, cook it, and then they can brew their own coffee. This is how they operate. Now, for new time listeners to the program, of course, this is probably not anything new as well. We're not trying to preach to the choir, although sometimes we do that because it needs to be said over and over and over again. What I'm finding, if I listen occasionally to local talk radio, is now they're just starting to get some religion, having to do with the health department, having to do with the lockdowns, having to do with wearing masks and so forth. And the people are getting restless, folks. The people are getting very restless because that's the natural, predictable thing you'd expect when you have these test runs, these trial runs, about creating a new boogeyman and then creating this kind of lockdown. We know from experience, from world experience, especially in a country like America, people are not used to that sort of thing. We had that in the previous century. We had that World War II mentality. We had that lockdown, you know, bring the troops together, men, women, and children. You've all got to do your part to defeat this enemy, which if you don't, you will have hell to pay because they're coming to get you. This is the mindset of the boogeyman. And it's worked very effectively with the CIA, then the OSS, the Department of State, and the Department of War. All of them were working in concert to create that kind of fear, that obsessive hysteria about Germany and Nazism and so on and so forth. And, of course, we know now definitively that it was all one big hoax, just as we're finding out about COVID-19 and this new resurgence of it. Well, you know, folks, there's going to come a time, as it says in the book of Revelation 6, that God is going to send, this isn't it yet in my opinion, but he's going to send the curses and the judgment. The four horsemen are coming. They haven't arrived yet. They're coming soon. And then you're going to see disease and famine and plagues, and you're going to see pestilence like you've never seen before. This, in my opinion, is strictly man-made. But what's coming will be divine. So we need to prepare for that. We need to understand that that is what will happen. And most people are totally caught off guard, just as they were caught off guard with this COVID nonsense. And we were talking about it, well, a little bit here and there, but we were reading about it in November of last year. And we're telling people anyway, you need to get your money out of the market. You need to invest wisely. You need to get it out of the bank. You need to convert to gold and silver and have a kit, a prep kit. You need to get your priorities in order. We used to talk about this years ago with Lindsey Williams. You remember? And people aren't doing that. They don't know. They just continue to delude themselves. And to some extent, God sends them a strong delusion anyway that they're going to believe a lie. And they're going to believe it'll just go on and on and on, and we'll adapt to it. We'll get used to it, and we'll see our way through it. What's the refrain they use now? Together we'll get through this. Yeah. They're going to get through something. I don't know what, but they're not going to get through this if they're ill-prepared. I think I have Ron in California right now. Hello, Ron. Is Ron there? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hello?
Grenard, what?
Here you are. All right, you're on now.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'm concerned, you know, about all this virus and all and its contamination and potential. And hearing younger people are now being contaminated, and they have strong immune systems, and there may not be a lethal contamination. But I'm concerned about all those students who've been smoking and vaping, what injuries they've caused to their respiratory system and lungs. And are they more susceptible because of it to this virus as it reaches down into the teenage groups?
Yes, that's a very, very valid point. You're right.
You know, with student learning, it's difficult. I worked with a project, HopeAndBeyond.org, and those kids were pretty aware. And unfortunately, it wasn't the mass of students. It was those who already had some awareness about morality and consciousness, as it were. So how do we deal with basically the fear and the anxieties and the need to get out? Where is the consciousness of what could be and how to prevent that in the mass? I don't see it.
you're right. I don't see it either, and I don't think it's forthcoming. I just don't see anybody, all these so-called therapists, all these so-called helpers and these experts, they're never talking about the most important part of you, and that is your soul, your mind, your heart, your peace at ease, if you have it. If you don't have peace in your heart, if you're frightened, fearful, and you're hysterical, you are definitely going down the path to self-destruction. No matter what they do for your body, no matter what inoculations they claim will help you, you're right. I mean, it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. It's in the mind, the heart, and the souls. That's why this is a battle, not of flesh and blood, you see? It's a spiritual war going on in high places.
Sir, I most appreciate your consciousness and the delivery that you have through your media. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's good to hear a voice like yours. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care. All right. Well, you know, that's what it's all about, folks. How many times have I said it? Too many. I've said it for 16 years now, and I don't know how much longer I can say it until it's over, but it is going to be over at some point, and we're losing way too many people and good people who should not be going down that path. The seed line of God versus the seed line of Satan. And, you know, when you read the headlines in today's Times of Israel, and you read the scare tactics, the preparation in the minds of the dumb goy as to what to expect and how they're doing it there, we should listen to our brothers and sisters in Israel. You know something afoul is coming up. You know that the next shoe is about to drop. You know that the next plateau is about to be reached, you see? You understand that. You know what's going to happen. You know what they're planning for, the new wave. And I wave bye-bye to them. I say bye-bye, good riddance, back with you. I walk around constantly with no mask. I am not going to poison myself or get polluted. And this is what they want. They want that pollution to circulate throughout your system, throughout your body. And all we do is justify more budgets in the state health departments so they can continue to spew out the propaganda that's come to them from WHO and Dr. Fauci and a whole host of others. And they're the experts. They're the anointed ones. Why? Because the media bosses have made it so. That's why. They've christened them. So, you know, again, think. But most people don't think. They react to stimuli, you see. And that's the sad part. In my state, in Rhode Island, you know, they took a poll, URI, the University of Rhode Island. They took a poll about 3-4 weeks ago, and it was published. And it said, how do you rate the governor, the Democratic nutcake governess, we call her, Gina Raimondo's handling of COVID-19? And like 80-something percent, the Democrats said, wonderful. You know what the percentage was with the Republicans or the Republicrats? 53%, a majority, actually supported this woman. And it goes to prove, in my mind, what I've been saying for a long time, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between them. And only one Republican senator in the state voted against the reappointment of this woman, the health department director, who looks like she just came from the Amazon. Her name is Nicole Alexander Scott. And she's tall, she's black, she's about 6'10", and she absolutely, totally, and completely just confuses the situation every day. She makes the same statements without any data to back it up. So let's see if we can, I don't know, do we have callers now? Who is it? Barbara Ann, is it on the line, I believe? Let's see if we can go to the next call before I start airing some very shocking audio. Hello, you're on the program.
Hi, Rick. It's so good to talk to you again. There's a couple things I wanted to go over. And as far as sure. The COVID, yes, that upsets me terribly because I don't like to take any kind of pills or aspirins or vaccines, or I don't even take vitamins or anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so when they say COVID this, and I mean, you hear it like a bazillion times. Well, in order to stay healthy, I'm a metaphysician and healer. You have to declare I'm healthy. I feel good. I'm happy. I love life. You have to declare the absolute, like God would think. You know what I mean? So I find it, and see, it's individual and collective consciousness. So if for me to just say that myself, okay, that's fine and dandy, but I have to live with everybody else's consciousness. And that's what's affecting us, you see?
Sure.
So, and
sure.
I appreciate
direction.
The...
Yeah.
I appreciate the good work that you do. I wanted to mention two other things. One about Frank of North Carolina.
Yes,
and I
wanted
deeply
to bring
regret.
It up. I had planned to.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I deeply regret it because, number one, he was dedicated, consistent. He even reached out to other bounds, you know, like different kind of shows and stuff that aren't necessarily ours. And he gave so much attention to our cause. And communication is what it's all about. Okay? So, anyway, and plus, is that the commercial?
Yes, commercial break. Yeah. Okay, you want me to hold you over?
Yes,
do that.
Please.
Hang on, and we'll come right back. Folks, Rick Adams, Uncensored, here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back now with our caller. Barbara Ann is on with us. And yes, Barbara, what else did you have to say?
Well, something really important. I think it was your show many years ago that you had Pastor Eli on. I think it was in the morning, like 8 o'clock or something. And
no.
So I followed him. Was that you?
No,
well, anyway.
At 8 in the morning. No, I wasn't. But
But anyway, what did you want to say?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, he's going to have what was used to be the Fash Bash last year. It's going to be the Euro Bash, and it's going to be July 3rd, 4th, and 5th in North Carolina. And guess what? I'm going to be the speaker, or one of them. I'll be speaking on Friday, I believe, the first one.
Right.
And Rick, and the audience, I'm going to be talking about my book, I'm Fearlessly White, Not a Slave, 1,000 Years Together. Now, why I say 1,000 years, because Alexander Solzhenitsyn from Russia talked about the Jews in Russia for 200 years. But on the front page of his book, he says, I start in 1775. Where did all the Jews come from? Poland. And I've got them from the year 1025 to 1945. And then Mama and Daddy had 12 babies. We were slaves to Jews in South Chicago. That's my book. I make the European-American connection. And I think that's why everybody's getting such a hard time.
I think
that's why everybody's getting such a hard time is because, well, I went to the Holocaust Museum and I protested that 2 days, and I said to them, I said you've got the Jewish version here. I said, this is a synagogue. I said, I'm the widow of a U.S. Marine Purple Heart Hall of Honor from Vietnam who fought the communists. His ancestors go back to the Mayflower, 1620. We built this country. I have a right to know what's going on here. And he was nice. His name was Dana Carroll. We talked for an hour and a half, and he said, well, to tell you the truth, the winners wrote the war. He meant the Jews wrote it. He said, not only that, we, with our taxes, pay for that synagogue. We're paying $20 million a year for their staff and everything. And then I said, where's the part about, I said, okay, we got the Jewish part, but the Christians are the opposite. Where's their part? Where's the Polish part? Where's the German part? We don't have any of this. And I'll tell you, I the second day I got a megaphone, the Jews were cursing at me, the police were coming. I was all alone. I was all by myself. But I thought, you've got to do what's principled. He's gonna have their Travis Goley from White Lives Matter. It's going to be broadcast on Eurofolk Radio and Skype. There's going to be no white guilt, the New Jersey Heritage Association. And there's going to be food. There's going to be taco breakfast. There's Rick Tyler's going to be there, Make America White Again. Burgers and hot dogs. And then the email address is Eli, E-L-I, Joseph, James, 2012, at AT&T.net. So I hope to see, whoever, and contact him if you need any further information.
Sure.
And I'm getting my speech ready. I might give a PowerPoint presentation or a new kind of thing called Prezi. I did give a PowerPoint presentation for the Council of Conservative Citizens about 2 years ago, and I had that came out really well. So, but now they have something that's a little bit more modern. It's called Prezi. I don't know if I have enough time to learn it for that, but I have so much in my heart and so much love. My problems after 50,000 pages of writing since 2002 are pretty much solved or resolved anyway, but I've got information. I don't want our people to have to go 18 years meandering, bumping into walls. How do I do this? What do I do? No, I hope we can work together. What do you think?
Well, as much as is humanly possible, work together. But, there's always disagreements. And problem with the conservative Christian movement, as one man used to tell me years ago, the conservative Christians don't bury their dead. And that is the problem. The left does. And they work together because they're collectivists to begin with. And we can't do that. But we need to strive for the freedom that Christ has given us. You see, it's a Christian thing to me. And that's all you can do is proclaim liberty throughout the land. And if they don't want to hear it, well, that's to their extent loss, So thank you, Barbara. Okay. I realized who you were. I didn't know it at first, but thank you. We always have a lot to say. And someday we'll bring you back as a guest on the program, all right? We'll do that.
I hope so.
We'll arrange
it. They censored one more thing, Rick. I paid $3,300 for my book, okay, and I edited it 35 times. I'm doing everything myself. My publisher censored it because a Jewish doctor raped me in 1968 at the University of Illinois and threatened me for life. It's on the internet. It's called Barbara Ann Nowak, N-O-W-A-K, the Stockton Murders. And so now I'm looking for a publisher, but in the meantime, I will have copies on flash drives of my book. And I have one more book on the internet.